It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
It's Golf DMV on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com, golfdmvpodcast.com. Shout out to Raul in California who ordered a hat. Your hat should be arriving. By the time he hears this podcast, I think you should have your hat. If not, I'll send you an email and I'll do a whole tracking thing on it, Raul.
We appreciate you, Raul.
We definitely do. The voice you just heard there, that's Vern in Vern's studio. Vern, what's up?
What's up?
And also in studio, LB. Now, you can't see LB right now if you're listening to the podcast.
Right.
But if he sounds muffled, it's because he's got this hospital germ mask on his face for some reason. LB, explain your current situation to the people, if you can't already tell from the
exactly. So I had to go to the office all week, and I caught a bug from some inconsiderate coworker who came to work sick and got a bunch of other people sick, including me.
Right.
So I decided that I was, you know, I'm a trooper, so I'm going to still go do the podcast.
Right.
But I do have a surgical mask on because I don't want to spread my germs to other people.
Right.
Because I'm considerate like that.
Which we appreciate.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
I know I might look foolish, but hey, but it's for the common good.
Here's what's interesting. So I saw a survey earlier this week that said, I think it was something like 67 or 72% of people who call out sick from work aren't sick. You know, they want to spend time at home or they want to sneak in a quick daycation or something like that, right?
Go play golf.
Right. And the more I thought about it, I thought that number is kind of high. But then I said, you know what? That actually makes sense because I run into a lot of people at work who are sick.
Yep.
And so it's like, you know what? Nobody stays home at work.
Number one,
if you're going to be home all day, why would you want to be home sick?
Yeah.
I'd rather go to work
and
be sick.
I'm going to bring my misery to everybody.
Exactly. And I hope I get one of you guys sick. You know, that's what you would do, right?
Yeah.
So of course people don't call in sick because they're sick. They call in sick because they want, you know, to be off without using their vacation
time. I want to take advantage of a nice day. Yep.
Exactly. Which is why LB is sick. Yes. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got PGA stuff, the Mayakoba Championship, I guess going to Monday to finish.
Right.
Tommy Fleetwood gets a win on the European Tour. We'll talk about that very briefly.
Shows you how excited he is.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little bit about indoor golf. The guys were at City Swing. We know Montgomery County courses have an indoor spot at Needwood. Also, you know, Golf Galaxy has simulators and stuff. Oddly enough, though, and I'll talk about it later in the show, but there's one thing odd that they do with these simulators at Golf Galaxy. And I'll talk about it. We'll handle it a little bit later.
All right.
But we need to finish our shout-outs, our Orlando recap with LB as he puts the surgical mask back on. He had to take it off to take
it. Yeah, I was getting hot.
A little bit warm in there.
So he had to take his sweatshirt off.
Yeah.
From what I understand through Instagram messages, the shout-out you gave last week was a little short.
Yeah.
So you want to do that off the top of
I'm gonna start with I'm going to finish up the course.
Okay.
And then I'll do the shout-outs from Orlando.
Okay.
And then we'll be done with Orlando. For 3 months.
For
until,
now.
Until
right.
we go back.
Until
right.
we go back.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So the final course we played, which was on that Sunday, was Hawks Landing, which is at the Marriott. It is, of the three courses we played, it was the nicest of the three.
Okay.
And it's at the Marriott. When you pull up basically to the front of the hotel. You don't pull up to like the golf course.
Right.
You pull up to the front of the hotel just a little bit to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little small spot. The guys are there. They take your clubs out and everything, and they disappear. You know, you go, and somebody takes your car, you go park it, or you can park it, or somebody take your truck, or whatever.
So I'm assuming you guys let someone else park it.
I think Rodney took it.
Okay.
So there are separate golf people versus the baggage people.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So and then your club disappeared, and then you go back through the clubhouse and come out, boom, there your stuff is on the cart ready to go.
All right.
Nice.
Very, very nice chipping area and putting green. Very, very nice. I give it a thumbs up.
Okay.
The driving range was it was okay, but it wasn't. I've seen better.
Okay.
Right.
For that kind of course, the driving range was a little underwhelming. Say it that way.
What would you compare it to here in the DMV?
Well, again, those are all. Everybody there has grass driving ranges. So the only people we can compare it to is Blue Mash.
Right.
So and it wasn't the Blue Mash caliber.
Okay. Oh, really?
No, okay. It wasn't. It was a little small too, but the chipping area, the chipping and the putting was really nice.
What's that show you? Where's the importance at?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So this is another topic too. Now, Rodney did some research that I did not, haven't looked at it yet. I apologize. When we got to the starter, he was telling us how our shots are going to play one shot shorter because of the seat, because we were at close to sea level and the humidity.
Really?
That's what he said.
Okay.
And I'm like,
they play shorter?
Yes.
Okay.
And I thought it was the opposite, that it was when the temperature was high.
Right.
The ball would go further.
That probably is true, but I can see, like, you know, water makes things heavy. Okay. So if the air is legit, if you're right on the water and it's legit heavy air, yeah, maybe move a little bit. So right. was he right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
And that was the problem because I could never find a consistency in, should I go up a club or down a club? You know what I mean?
Right.
My regular club, sometime I'd hit it, it'd be perfect. I hit it again the next time and it's 20 yards short.
So you don't know if it's the air density or you're just trash. Yeah.
Right. Or just my sorry ass game. Right. It's one of the two. And I'm leaning more toward my game.
Right.
But I never could find a consistency in it. But even now, taking it back, then some of our drives, when I would get a crank out a good one, would look like a great one.
Shorter.
It would still be a little bit shorter.
Okay.
So, but that was one thing. Rodney had sent me an article, but I hadn't read it about it. So. Move on.
Speaking of Rodney, Rodney went with us to Vegas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you can answer this after you do the course review if you want. Mm-hmm. And since being back in Louisville after the Vegas thing, we're saying he's just beating up on his friends.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, he's saying, man, I'm hitting the ball long. I'm going to be straighter. Did you physically see any evidence of Rodney being better since the ball was in less than?
In a word, no.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Rodney.
Yeah, but he was saying that he was having some back issues, stuff was tight and whatever.
Now, I will say this, though. I mean, I feel like my game improved after Paul Wilson, and then, but now you couldn't tell. I mean,
That's true.
Dang.
City Swing yesterday.
But it's true about me too, right? You can't. Yeah. I mean, the last two rounds you and I played together, it hasn't seemed like I was with Paul. I mean,
okay. But you hadn't played in a while either.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah, it fell off quickly.
I think we all do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Once we take a lesson. And it's, you know, recently after, you know, soon after that lesson, you're playing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the further away you get from that lesson, the further away your progress becomes.
Yeah.
You know,
the instructor's got to eat, right? It'd be kind of a weak career if it's like, I taught him once and now he's doing it.
Right, exactly. Got to come back. Like, got to keep going back.
Right.
So, yeah. So Hawks Landing was, again, I will put this, if you're in Orlando, I definitely would recommend it as a play. It's about $120, something like that.
Will this be a repeat when we go, or are you going to do all different?
No, we'd be playing different courses. Okay. I've already saw them play the same course when we go on our golf trip, unless it's something super spectacular.
Right, really nice.
Or something about it that really draws me back, because there's so many other courses. Once we get through all the nice ones, then we'll start repeating.
Right.
Okay. But some of the lower end courses, we probably would never play again. I will put this on a play again list, but just not that soon. Maybe 2 or 3 years from now, we'll play it again. Something like that. So that takes care of Hawk Landing. I did put some pictures on Instagram if you want to check out some of the pictures. It's very, very well maintained course. It was beautiful. It really was beautiful. Now for the shout outs. So that Friday.
How are the games at Hawk
Landing? Okay. I went past it. My bad. I had the low round again at 94.
Nice.
Okay.
Again, at 94
was the low round.
So that tell you, I think that tell you all you need to know.
I'm disappointed, Reggie. Disappointed. Thought he was going to do better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reggie was doing good. He would do good for a little while, and then the wheels would just fall off.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
I am all familiar with that.
We all been there.
Yeah.
So last Friday night, we went to Corona Cigar Company, which is off of Sand Lake, I think it is, up that way. Very nice cigar lounge.
Okay.
It was the spot. It was hard for us. We had to wait around to get a seat.
Right.
But it was packed. And people everywhere.
For those we're still in Orlando. For those who don't know.
I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. Right. We're still in Orlando.
Okay.
We've been there a couple of different times. When we go do cigars, that's where we go. Really well stocked bar. All the rye whiskey you can think, they got it. Prices are not ridiculous.
Right.
Well-stocked shop, cigar shop.
Not crowded? No, we're not smoking on top of each other? A little cozy, maybe?
It was a lot of people standing, too.
Oh, okay.
Because it was really just that crowd. There wasn't an empty seat in the house.
Wow.
Okay. We finally, you know, weaseled up on some seats. And we smoking, we drinking, we having a good time, talking to people as they come by. People sitting at ours. We had a table of like eight. And it's just three of us, because Steve didn't go because he wasn't feeling well.
Okay. Yeah.
So he didn't come out. So it was just me, Reggie, and Rodney. So we just got talking to people. So some of the people I met, gave them cards as well. I met Billy Roll, who is the defensive backs coach at FAMU.
Nice.
FAMU?
Yep. Nice guy. So he has a card. Hopefully he's listening. I met a guy named Wayne Sakula. he's in the trains.
Okay.
Like model trains and stuff. He showed me some pictures. He's got his whole garage like full of trains.
Really? Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. I mean, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
We talked about this before the show, but we've talked about this playing golf and just kind of hanging out. Like, I love all the different kind of subcultures of hobbies that there are. I mean, you know, some are like just into golf and that's just what they do. Some are into cigars. That's what they do. Some are into trains. Obviously, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, but even Vern, you know, this like with coffee, you know, and something like that. You and my buddy Lamar.
Yeah.
Connected at PBDI over coffee.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But there's so many different subcultures. You know what I mean? And I love the fact that there are people who are passionate about what they're passionate about and they dive all the way in and you find your group, you find your people, you find your tribe in what you do. Yeah, exactly. And what you're passionate about.
And golf ends up connecting all of us in some way.
Exactly.
It all comes back to golf. Well, he was a good guy. We had a good conversation.
All right.
The other one I want to shout out is a realtor I met. She gave me a card. I think I lost it, so I don't remember her name, but she has my card. So hopefully she's listening, because she owes me some information that I want.
Okay.
Does it have to do with retirement?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, okay.
We got to talk about real estate and retirement stuff. And I told about the Villages and she said, well, I have some places. She could recommend some places for me to check out.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That she would recommend more than Villages. I was like, oh, well, I need to know this information.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting on that information. So she has my card. So hopefully she will follow up with us. And last but not least, I definitely have to do a better shout out for Brianna, who we met at Cleo's on Saturday night.
Cleo's St. Basilica to church.
Cleo's Gentleman's
Gentleman's
Ballet, as I like to refer to it. We've corresponded a little bit on Instagram. If you all want to check her out or get to her page, it's Brianna Marie 259 on Instagram. She's an up and coming. She's going to be a fitness model. She's looking into doing some meal prep and stuff like that.
All right.
So she's spreading her talents around like that.
I'll leave that one alone.
And one more perk she gave us for our Golf DMV listeners.
Oh, yeah.
If you are in the Orlando area and you go into Cleo's, ask for Bree and tell her you heard about her on Golf DMV podcast.
Right.
Your first shot is on Bree.
We're passing the savings along to you, ladies and gentlemen.
What more could you want, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, real nice young lady. If you meet her, I'm sure you will enjoy her company. And check her out on Instagram as well as Brianna Marie 259 on Instagram.
Bang, bang.
All right. So your Orlando trip success. You loved it. Had fun.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'm already planning the Sawgrass trip.
I'm already
in that process. So, I like traveling. So obviously, it's what I do.
And so we're going to Orlando again. It's March, right?
March.
The weekend of Sawgrass.
Yeah, the weekend of the 13th, 14th, something like that. Whatever that weekend.
Yeah, I gotta get them dates because Keisha doesn't know yet. I'm going. But we'll work it out.
We'll figure it out.
I'll close the deal. Tickets getting purchased. So.
GolfDMVpodcast.com. That's the website. So we knocked that out.
Let's get this out the way too.
Yes.
Remember a few weeks ago when my cousin passed?
That's not why I'm laughing. Okay. Right. Oh, go ahead. There's nothing funny about that.
Right. So, but I know I related the story to you all how I ended up in the wrong funeral.
Yes.
And my wife had signed the book, the guest book at the wrong funeral. So the other day when we get home, there's an envelope on the table and I'm like, I don't know who these people are. So I open it up and it's a thank you card from the Morton family thanking us for attending their service for their daughter, for their beloved Kathy. And they appreciated us attending the funeral.
Now look, LB sent us this text in a group chat, and I immediately started laughing because in my head I just start picturing all these people in these skits, basically just where they're, you know, in their family. There's all this intrigue now. Who did Kathy know him? Damascus, Maryland. Lawrence Brooks. Like, there's the whole investigation going on that side of the family now. Yeah.
Who in the world
was this person? We'll send him a thank you.
That's very interesting.
We're going to find him.
By the way, if anyone from that dear family is listening, we for you on the loss of a family member, email us, because this would be very interesting. Lawrence Brooks from the podcast you listened to showed up at the funeral and you didn't know, and he didn't know he was at the wrong one. Quite a situation.
Yes.
So before we jump into City Swing and indoor golf, let's talk a little bit about the PGA. And while LB gets his PGA tour notes together with the Manny Millions, I just want to jump in and talk about Tommy Fleetwood, who won gosh, what's the name of this tournament? Nedbank Golf Challenge, European win, his fifth European Tour win. I don't think he's won on the PGA Tour yet.
Fleetwood, no.
Yeah, but this is his first European win. So yeah, he's holding up this, trophy, and his hair is flowing in the picture as always.
Oh, he's a good guitar.
I like Fleetwood. Star. Yeah, I like Fleetwood swag though. I do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Although
he needs a haircut.
I'm trying to think. Was it last year in one of these, you know, Europe versus USA tournaments or whatever, and they won?
Right.
They did a bunch of promotional videos where it's him and Sergio or someone else, like in a bed with the trophy together.
Mm. Oh,
it was really kind of weird.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. The Mayakoba Classic Golf Classic going to have a Monday finish. Apparently, the second round was delayed.
Yeah, I thought it was the first. I could be wrong. Either the Thursday or the Friday round got completely rained out.
Just like the Japan one, huh?
Yeah.
So before we get into this, just a question. And, you know, guys, you can email us, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. Am I the only one who kind of tunes out of golf, like, right around September, October? Like, for whatever reason. And it's no different. Like, this is the same as like a John Deere Classic or anything that happens in the spring or summer that I'm just glued to the television. I have no clue why I can't get into this stuff in the fall and winter.
It's just holidays, bro. Holidays, and probably because in the Northeast, we're out of golf. We're not playing golf. We're not watching as much. Not as many top-rated names are playing in these tournaments. So it's understandable. Glenn is asked me today, a friend of the show, Glenn. He asked me the same thing. He said, well, when's the next, like, big tournament that you'll actually pay attention to? Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever the one is in, like, Phoenix. Kapalua. No, for me. Is that the first of the year, December?
Yeah, Kapalua's early.
I'll look at that a little bit. And then the Phoenix. Yeah. And then that's it. I'm skipping all those other ones.
Yeah, I just can't watch it. What about you?
I agree. I think it's to change the season for us because we don't play. I mean, we were at the range. Well, at least I was at the range trying to be every other day.
Right.
Now that it's cold and get dark at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Can't do that.
You can't do that no more. So it kind of takes our season here is quote unquote over.
Yes. Right.
So which kind of puts all of golf, you know, to a backseat. I think that's kind of how it works out.
Agreed. You got the holidays coming up and everything else.
Yeah. Well, hell with the holidays.
Okay. All right. So,
all right, Mr. Grinch. We got it. So I don't know. I just can't pay attention to it. And maybe it's because mentally I check out, but maybe I wonder if mentally I need a break from just even watching the pros all the time.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Just like following the weekend.
I think there's something. I do wonder what it would be like. I'm springing this on you guys at the last second. But earlier today, I was like, I wonder what it's like to be in a place where you can play all year round. Is there a benefit to us having a season here where you some kind of stop and you come out of it in like March and you're all amped up again for the season?
I feel like
there's a benefit to that because you kind of put it away for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's gone. And then come like February, March, you're like, yeah. We're about to start playing some golf.
So I will be able to tell you that in about 3 years when I move.
Of course.
And I can tell you what year-round golf is going to be like. And I'm kind of curious about that myself.
Chill out.
Yeah. Does it become, you know, because you can play every day.
Right.
You won't. I mean, at least I don't, I'm not.
Right.
I'm playing on it at least. But will my love for the game diminish because I can do it every
day?
That's
a great
question.
Right. Or it could go the other direction where if you gave me access to play every day right now, I would go. I'd be playing like multiple times a day. So who knows? I don't know.
Because I feel like so. Suppose you know, like you lived on a course, like you're talking about villages or wherever. Like, and there was a course a minute from your house, 2 minutes from your house, just right around the corner, and you could literally play anytime you wanted to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that anytime you had a chance, even if it was just, you know, a quick 9 holes or even just 6, if whatever membership fee you paid,
it's basically free.
And that was it.
Yeah.
I'd imagine you'd play a ton. Like, Vern, I could see, right there at LP, like if you had some kind of membership and, you know, carts and stuff was included, range balls and stuff.
So it doesn't cost anything. So basically it's just a question of time. Like, I'm going to blow 30 minutes at the course.
Right. I'm going to go
and play six.
Play 4 holes. I'm going to go play 6. I'm going to go get what I can get in the next 45 minutes and then I'm going to go home.
You're probably right.
Because, I mean, you know, especially if it's all included in the price.
I think for me, it'll be how well I play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm seeing improvement.
Start to come down because you're playing more often.
Then I would probably keep it up. But if it's going to stay, I'm going to keep shooting 94.
And if that's still the low score,
I need some better players.
Start playing less and less.
Yeah.
So it would basically kill your hope.
Right.
And you'd be like, this is me forever.
I'm never getting stuck. Right. Okay, Mayakoba, we've got a Brendan Todd and Vaughn Taylor, they share the lead. It's extended into Monday. I think they said that the first tee time is at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, it's early.
But you got a Manny Millions on this.
Yeah, so I'm assuming he lost because he was losing when I wrote this. Mm-hmm. He could have come back and did something great, but it doesn't matter because he is going to be our Manny Millions whether he loses or not at this point.
Okay.
His name is Mr. J.J. Spawn, I'm sorry, S-P-A-U-N. We've all heard of him, haven't we? I know I had.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he went to Michigan State, right?
No, right now,
no, not that one.
Oh, okay.
The other J.J. Spawn.
Right now, he's tied with two others, Jim Herman and Satoshi Kodera.
Oh, Kodera, yeah. I'm fine. I don't know who that is.
I legit thought you, you know.
Well, so we're going with JJ. I hope JJ. Well, how many holes they got left?
Actually, it looks like he's finished.
JJ is finished?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So they're all three tied. Yeah. And so
the other two guys are finished too?
Yeah, they're done too.
Oh, so it was a three-way tie for last place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. How about that?
JJ gets the spotlight.
JJ, the spotlight's on you, buddy. So JJ Spawn won 13, actually, and the other two guys too, won $13,032 for their last place win. Last place finish, I should say. JJ is 29 years old. He's 5'9", 185. And JJ, actually, his real name is John Michael. How you get JJ out of John Michael? Hey, I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Is he a junior?
He probably a junior.
Oh, he is a junior.
Okay. Yep.
Maybe
you're right. He is a junior. John Jr. So John Jr. Okay, that's where JJ come from. There we go. Well, we just solved that mystery. he's born in L.A. He is married. He has no rugrats. He's a San Diego State University graduate.
San Diego State.
In 2012, he's a social science major.
Okay.
I don't know what you do with that.
Play golf.
Nothing. You play golf.
You're a golf team.
Yep.
I guess so, huh? So he went pro in 2012. And so we're going to do the guessing game now.
Okay, 2012. Right. I always lose.
He has zero wins.
Oh, okay.
He has one second place.
Okay.
Three third places and nine top tens. He's played in 89 events, but he only made 57 cuts.
Okay.
So he got 57 cuts, no wins, one second place, three third places, and nine top tens.
Okay.
What is his career total?
I'm going to say $3.8 million.
Okay. Yeah, I had him at about four and a half.
Damn, Burr was a kid.
God, I never win this.
It's 4.39.
Oh, okay,
oh, man. I just never.
You were close. You were so close this time.
All I had to do was go 3.9 or 4. Can't do it.
I couldn't find very much about him other than he's a season ticket holder at Disneyland. Apparently he's big into Disney.
And they don't have any kids?
That's what I said.
Well, they are. Oh, dude, on the plane going down there this last time?
Right.
Dude, you'd be surprised about adults that go to Disneyland with no kids.
Yeah, I got a hot take about that one day. I'll light these people up.
Wait a minute. We should hear it now.
Well, look.
What else is going on with our guy JJ?
Nothing else. That's enough. Okay. He is a sneakerhead. He's in the Jordan shoes, so he's a sneakerhead.
Okay.
That's the only other tip.
Aaron gave a big shout out, by the way, to Vern for his Jordans that he had on when we played golf at 1757.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you like those, go get them on StockX. They're not expensive. So, it won't cost you a lot. No, man, just Disney, look, so Disney Plus came out recently.
Right.
Not knocking Disney, that's great. But there's been a lot of talk from people who I know don't have kids or have kids who are much older who are like, yeah, you guys getting that Disney Plus? The Mandalorian, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an adult person, that's the only reason you're getting it, all right? You can binge that, you can get it for 1 month. There's no reason. People are like, oh, the Lady and the Tramp live action. Basically, my beef is with grown people who want to go to Disneyland, Disney World, who want to go do all this. What are we doing? What are we doing?
You're an adult person. Right?
Yeah. You're enchanted by the fairy tale stuff. What are we doing here?
I have a first cousin who they just got, they got married a couple years. When I went down to Tampa for the wedding a few years ago, her now husband, they lived in Tampa.
Right.
They moved to Orlando
to be closer to
Disneyland.
No, they did not. No, they did not.
Come on.
They lived in Tampa and moved to Orlando to be closer to
Disney World. Their theme for their showers and stuff.
God, was it Winnie the Pooh?
It was Disney themes.
Ridiculous.
Right. These adults. I mean, these adults. He's a doctor.
Come in here,
yeah.
And get surgery from some right. Mickey Mouse doctor. No disrespect to the guy. I'm sure you're a lovely man.
Right. With his Mickey Mouse ears on, talking about we can do surgery.
I feel like these people, like if we were all going out, we were going to the movies. I was like, hey, we're all going to go see, you know, I don't know, Training Day or Heat or something,
or Terminator 8.
Yeah, they'd be in a fetal position in the thing. Like, I don't like this.
I don't want to see Terminator.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand it. You like what you like, but
have you guys ever been to a Disney resort or event or anything? Well, LB, you just went to one, right?
Well, I went to that golf course. And even that turned me off, just the amount of
Disney stuff.
The Disney stuff that was there. You know what I mean?
Happy Dappy.
Right. The boat is going.
I don't know what that song is.
I'm on the, you know, we're on the green, on the putting green, and the Disney boat is going down the canal next to the green.
Right.
I don't need all that. I don't need all
right,
that.
Right, right.
And this, the whole Disney conglomerate.
Yeah, the shtick.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
So, two experiences with Disney. Number one, I had a friend. I had a friend. Okay. My wife has a friend. She got married, and she's one of these Disney people.
Uh-huh.
And so she wanted to have her wedding at Disney. You know, and it cost so much to, you know.
The Orlando or California?
Orlando.
No, Disney World. Okay.
And so, okay, cool. So we fly down there.
All right.
Disney does a whole experience.
No, yeah, right? So they do.
Where we stayed where you played, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we played there, stayed there. And I do remember having to take one of these little ferries from where we stayed. Uh-huh. To where the wedding was going to be, or to somewhere else, and I remember seeing the golf course,
right.
And I was like, "Huh, okay." So anyway, so I do get the whole being distracted by the ferry or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other experience was I was kind of underwhelmed by it, but we took Manny on a Disney cruise,
okay,
when he was five,
uh-huh.
And it was top shelf. Customer service number one. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
How
good they are at that stuff. And they deliver on a high level at everything that they say.
Of course.
But at the same time, mm-hmm. I probably would not have gone if I didn't have a kid.
Yeah.
It's because you're an adult, normal person.
Exactly.
You don't cling to fantasies.
Exactly. Now, what I'd love to hear, if there's anybody in the golf DMV community
mm-hmm.
who is a huge Disney person.
Defend yourself.
And you go, you do your thing. Yeah, defend yourself without any kids. Without your kids. Like, even if you took your kids before, but they're grown now, and but you still go.
Right.
I'd love to hear from you.
Right. Now, I've heard people say that the Universal part. Now, I've gone to the Universal part at night with the clubs and all that stuff,
yes.
The BB Kings and all that stuff is at. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's at nighttime and it's drinking and acting a fool and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, you know
what you can do whether you're at Disney or not.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've heard people say, because I've had this discussion at work, and people are like, oh, well, you need to go to Universal. That's where they have the adult stuff.
Because the nightlife.
I was like, I'm not going to Orlando for nightlife. Right. I go to Vegas. Right. I feel like if I took these people to Vegas, like, their minds would be blown.
Right. Exactly. Vegas is like the Disney World for adults.
So anyway, exactly.
It's Golf DMV. We'll have more golf talk coming up next. LB's going to sell some ads. And if you listen on the radio, you're going to hear top of the hour news. Stay close.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to Golf DMV, 1500 AM, FederalNewsNetwork.com. The important website is GolfDMVPodcast.com. We've got hats and things like that. Go ahead and purchase them. So, we're done with the Orlando wrap-up for now, because we've got an Orlando trip coming up in a few months, right? Check that out. Let's jump into City Swing. You guys were at City Swing this past weekend. Saturday night?
Yesterday.
Saturday
night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, our friend Tari Cash, we were there, did a live show. And by live, we just recorded it there.
Right.
And gave you guys the lowdown on City Swing. If anybody went there since hearing it on the podcast, let us know, golfdmvpodcast.com. More importantly, the next time you go from this to the podcast, let Tari and her crew know you listened to the podcast and you went there.
Right.
Very important for future things.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Help us out.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys went to City Swing. What happened? How was it?
It was dope. I'll start. I mean, I'll say I was pleasantly surprised. I thought I was going to be... More being
Right there off New York Avenue near Chinatown in D.C.
Yep. Easy shot for me.
New York and Fifth, I think.
New York and Fifth, yep. New York and Fifth. I park right under the Safeway. So easy to get to. And as an experience, you know, we play a lot of golf. We go to the range a lot. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be cool for like, I got it for 2 hours. And I was like, oh, you know, probably about 45 minutes in, I expected it to turn into like a range session where we're just kind of hanging out, you know, shooting the bleep, just kind of hitting the ball or whatever. But I was pleasantly surprised. I found that the simulator, the big screen they have, which is huge, is probably what, like 15 by 15 feet. It's big.
If not bigger.
Not bigger than that, maybe 20. But yeah. It really puts you in the mindset of like, hey, I'm playing golf at Albany. So what happens is you start off kind of just messing around, hitting the ball, seeing what it does. Mm-hmm. And about the middle of the round, you're like actually trying to hit good shots and play golf.
Nice.
Especially when you can see those numbers from the TrackMan right on right on the side of the of screen. So if you can imagine, for those listening, a huge like 20 by 20 screen right in front of you, crystal clear, resolution on the golf course and stuff like that. And you stand in the middle of this big hitting net or the big tarp and you just hit the ball like right into the course. It's easy. And it becomes really fun after a while. And 2 hours passed.
Quickly.
Very quickly.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. I bet. LB, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We picked the Tiger. What was it called? Albany.
Albany.
So that's Tiger's Albany course in the Bahamas.
Bahamas. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So they apparently they just got that one not too long ago. Too.
Right. That's where his next.
Is that where Heroes is or whatever?
Yeah. The next tournament he has is there.
So we played that course. What was interesting to me was the machinery itself or the system. Mm-hmm. So when you were in the rough, and we were in the rough a lot.
Yes.
But it would tell you when you go to hit. So if you were in deep rough, it would tell you that your shot is going to be like, say, 75% power because you're in the rough. So it kind of simulates, you know, you're not taking clean shots out of the rough. Even though you're hitting the ball, you know, on the mat, the system is calculating how – you know, how much resistance you're going to have in that shot coming out of the rough.
So basically, if you're looking at the screen, if you're in a bad spot, you'll see when it'll give you a recommendation for a club, and then it'll tell you 87% power or 60% power, basically saying, hey, when you hit this shot, we're only giving you 60% of what.
Because you're coming
out of the rough, you're behind I was behind in the shrubs and stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So and all that kind of stuff it takes into effect. That I thought that was pretty cool. The only thing that bothered me was the club selection thing. It was all, for me, it was never correct.
Okay.
It would say, oh, for this shot, you should hit a 9-iron. And I'm like, it was a 9-iron, it was 150 something yards. Like, no, I can't hit a 9-iron that far.
Right.
You know, not on a good day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that part, I kind of, you know, after a while, I'm like, I'm not paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did what I wanted. As far as club selections.
Yeah, I mean, I found it to be okay, but. I wasn't hitting them straight. And actually, we were both hitting them very short, too, though. So talk about that.
Even in the early part, so we had a range session before we started the actual round with the Albany. And they had a 150-yard target out there. And if you, it's just like at the range, if you were hit behind the ball, your shot would go 100 yards. Mm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I forget the guy's name. What was the one brother's name there? I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, Young Man?
Young Man. I can't remember his name.
Slim?
Yes. Slim HBCU.
Slim.
He went to HBCU. I remember from the interview, he went to... didn't he go to University of Maryland Eastern Shore?
Oh, the guy who works there.
He did go to UMass. Yeah.
So I remember calling him D'Angelo.
All right.
But I don't think that was his name.
Right.
That's right.
Started with a D.
Yeah, it did. It did. Yep. I can't remember his name.
DeAndre?
So D.
I don't know.
Yeah. We call him D. No disrespect, D. I mean,
yeah, I'm sorry. But he can't remember my name even.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What's up, champ? Hey, boss. Chief.
Chief.
But yeah, now I forgot my point. He was telling us something about the, because now I hit a shot one time. And it didn't go like how far I went.
When it was fat.
Right. And he said, oh, you probably just took a 6-inch divot. Yeah. That's why that ball didn't. So if you, when you hit the ball on the mat, if you hit the ball incorrectly, that shows up immediately in the shot.
Okay.
So it's pretty accurate. I mean, that part was, you know, when I hit the ball perfectly.
Right.
On a sweet spot, it did what it was supposed to do.
Right.
But if I hit behind the ball or whatever, it shows up in the TrackMan. So that part was pretty good.
Right.
I did find that interesting.
And I've hit with a TrackMan before on an actual range where they've had a TrackMan behind and they're sort of doing the lesson thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be, it would, outside it was accurate. Like I could see the targets and I would hit like a shot, you know, 170 yards and it would say like, you know, 168 carry, you know, 170 total. So, but yeah, everything seemed to come up a little bit shorter there, but it was nice. Yeah. It was nice. All in all, I'll say it was more fun than I expected to have. Mm-hmm. I told LB while we were there, I was like, yeah, I could see, it's like, you know, it's like an actual, like playing a video game, but like for real, I'm like a simulation. I could see myself spending like hours in there if I had one of these in my house, or if there was like if I worked like downtown and there was one at the basement of a building,
Get
a couple beers after work, come in there, do an hour and just hit. And I think you would get better too. I actually think you would get better.
And the upside to it is too, you, at least as of now, I don't know if it's going to change.
Right.
You can bring your own
food and beverage.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I had my own beverage and I was good.
Second upside, call the love, no putting.
I was going to ask that. Like, how do you work that whole putting thing?
Yeah, because I tried at one point. So when you get inside of 8 feet of the pin, that was a one putt.
Yeah, but it would do like a probability based on you hitting like this is a one putt. Sometimes it could be one or two.
Yeah,
and then like outside 15 feet, it would either be two or three. Or
right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So basically, you just have to get it close to the pin, and it would count as a putt or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because at one point,
LB got a birdie one time.
Yeah, because one point I had one though, and I tried with a putter because I was curious. It's toward the end.
Right.
I had one that was like 15 feet away. And I just tried hitting it with a putter, and the TrackMan wouldn't even pick it up.
Oh, okay.
So you got to get it airborne for the TrackMan, and the thing with the TrackMan to pick it up.
Right, right. Or move the club fast enough. I think that's what, I think it was a speed thing or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. But so, no putting. Yep.
Yeah,
no putting.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. I'd love that. Yeah. So during
But you can still three putt, though.
Even if I don't putt, I can still three putt. So, Vern, you're a big, like, kind of numbers, data guy, you know, and so even though you played the round, was all that information still provided for you for each swing? Or?
Oh, yeah, you can have, at the start of the round, especially now that we've been and we know what we're looking for, you can have the D and the other gentleman at City Swing. Configure it to show whatever numbers you want after each shot. So they're always going to show like your distance and your carry and everything else. If you want club,
speed, launch angles and stuff.
Exactly. Launch angles, face to path angles, swing angles. They'll put all that up there for you.
Oh,
if you understand, you know, I think
if you know what to do with all that.
Right. Your spin rates and stuff like that.
So for those options, you probably want all, I mean, cause your numbers got me, you probably want all that.
I did. And I'll say like again, this first time it was mostly us just sort of getting adjusted to doing, you know, towards the end, I found myself not even looking. Well, the only number I was looking at was, carry distance.
Right.
Towards the end, I just was trying to hit it as hard as I could to make the number go up.
Yeah.
so I was concerned with that one. But yeah, if you're into numbers, if you want to go there, and I can see how lessons there would be really beneficial because again, they have every part of the game measured. So
LB, would do you care too much about the numbers to have all those that up, or do you,
no? Because I don't know what they mean to me at this point. You know, the only one I looked at really was carry. And that kind of stuff. Because they were always, it never went as far as I thought it should go.
Right.
You know, I always felt like, I should have got another 10 yards out of that shot or whatever. But yeah, that's all the numbers that were important to me.
Interesting. Yeah. Was anybody there when you guys were like sitting around waiting or
no?
Well, you guys got the last two.
Yeah, we had the last 2 hours.
Yeah, so eight to 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there. When I got there, I got there a little bit, few minutes before Vern.
Right.
And we were both late. So, they were basically sitting there chilling, waiting on us to get there.
Yeah, they called me to make sure I was coming. I was like, yeah. So I had the spot book for you from 8 to 10 p.m. or, you know, or 2000 to 2200.
Right. depending on which one you like.
I like the
8 to 10 p.m.
Okay.
That was a funny text message.
I had to go do math. I was like, I had to ask my wife. I said, so 2400. Then I started doing counting backwards.
Listen. Please, if you meet me, please do not call it military time. The military did not invent the 23-hour clock, banks, doctors, airlines. I don't know why it's a thing for me. Every time I have to make a point. There are 24 hours in a day. They made it very simple. 0 through 23. I'm sorry. Post-meridian.
When we were there recording, there were gentlemen who were there, and they were playing music. You got, well, obviously.
Yeah, so we could pick our music.
Did you have any music going on?
Yeah, we had a... I did old school hip hop.
He
asked me my genre, and that's what I picked.
Yeah.
So how did you enjoy it?
When there was a song I liked, it was fine.
Okay.
But there were a few songs I was like, I can't stand that song.
So
he did.
So the most
positive one. No, yeah, the Humpty Dance actually.
I could never like that song.
But my question is, so why were you more
Because we inside. Adaptive.
Okay. Okay.
I don't understand that club.
We're inside. Okay. We're playing a game.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
It's not for realsies.
No, exactly. I'm not outside. They ain't the squirrels running around. No birds chirping in my, you know. Okay.
So for you, the music and playing golf is more, we're outside, nature.
Yeah.
We don't play any music.
Yeah. No, so exactly. So when right. I go to the range, a lot of times I will have my headphones on.
Right.
And I'm fine with that at the range.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Would you ever play golf with headphones on?
No.
Or earbuds?
Mm. Now, see, I believe that, but I'm going to call BS on this bird chirping. As much as I play golf with you, I've never heard them stop and say, you know, this is this is a beautiful sound of nature.
Like I may not have said anything. But I like, because the other day when we were in Florida, there was a bunch of hawks Hawks Landing.
Hawks Landing, yeah.
There were hawks everywhere. And okay. I noticed it because they was, you know, screeching and flying all over the place.
Right.
I enjoyed that.
But the Canadian geese that you chase down.
Because they crap all over the golf course. I can't stand those
hawks
birds.
Hawks don't crap on the golf course. Okay,
no,
I got
they
you.
Crap in the woods where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, okay.
Canadian geese need to go back to Canada and they crap all they want.
Oh, man.
Don't come down here and mess up our golf courses.
All right, Trump. So, the geese? Let's go back to Canada.
Let's build a wall.
Build a geese wall
in Canada.
A big net.
Exactly. Okay, so you didn't mind the music there then?
No. And actually, if I go back again, we're doing Delta Blues next time.
I thought he was going to say Turn Up Ratchet music. Right? 21 Savage. Yeah.
So City Swing is a spot that you'd go back to?
It was okay. I mean, I'm not going to talk about what it was, but you know what I mean? you know, it was... Okay. Yeah, you know, if you want to talk about that, that's fine. I don't know.
We do. It's golf. We talk about golf in the DMV.
Okay, for me, it was expensive.
Okay, the price point was
high. The price point was high. Okay. It was more than I was shocked when he told us that number. I was in my mind like, what?
Yeah. I was curious if he was going to pay. I was ready to cover the whole thing. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. I had no idea it was going to be that much. I just didn't know.
Right.
And unfortunately, I had much cash on me.
Curious to see if he was going to pay.
Yeah.
You can use your card, though. I mean, you can use a card.
He just,
I just happened to have had some cash on me because I don't walk around with that much cash in my pocket.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it turned out to be an expensive evening for me. Okay. You know what I mean? It cost me $15 to park.
Mm-hmm.
So the brothers, that's a whole other story, too.
Yeah, that's not on them.
But it cost me $15 to park plus the joints. So I'm about $100 in.
You're talking about $15 to park. Wait, did something happen with the parking?
Well,
no, so it's a parking lot across the street.
Okay.
So I went over there to park,
right.
And the guy says, the brother's like, oh, I was like, where you going? I was like, I'm going to City Swing. He's like, oh, okay, hold on, park over here. So I ended up parking on the street, but they still charged me $15 to park on the street.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah,
it's my hustle,
right?
Man.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It was a straight hustle, but it is what it is. My car was still there. I ain't get no ticket.
Right.
So I'm good. You know what I mean?
But it was 13 for me. I parked in the garage. So it was still 13 for me. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, but again, so $15 to park plus the joint. I'm $95 in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's a Whiskey Creek round. You know what I'm saying?
Except it was 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was
cold. Exactly. Inside, I'm drinking, I'm having a good time, eating peanuts and stuff.
My assumption for the experience is, and I'm making an assumption. My I told the guys earlier. I was like, I think what's meant to happen is it's supposed to be generally a foursome deal where if it's going to be, you know, one to two for a couple hours, one to 200 for a couple hours, that's split amongst four people.
Okay. Right.
So, you know, parking and everything, 25. So you're looking at like maybe 35, 40 bucks, maybe 50 bucks tops per person.
I wonder how fast four people can go through.
And that's my next question too,
you need to be on it.
Right. You got to be ready. If you want to keep your time, your time down and your money in your pocket,
right.
you got to play ready golf. And I mean ready golf.
Right.
When the first person gets done, your club's in your hand walking up to the tee.
Right.
No dilly dallying around.
Yeah.
And cut out some of the range time. Cause we probably spent 20 minutes just hitting range shots and stuff too.
Yeah.
Before we even started the round.
Right.
So
set a limit. All right. Everybody hit 6 balls to warm up.
Yeah,
we'll be going in.
Yeah, I would almost say
certain buddies of ours. If you're talking about ready golf, they gotta be ready. They can't play. Then
yeah, we can't bring them. Well, some of them we wouldn't bring anyway because they wouldn't want to spend the money.
That's true. Yeah. They would have left me out there in the cold. Like, oh, I ain't get that. I didn't agree to that. Oh, and the last thing I'll say, which is not necessarily related to them, but the Albany, that golf course, that golf course is beautiful.
Yeah.
So for as much as we said in their previous segment about not caring about you know, winter golf. The hero, the Hero Rail Challenge, December 4th. I'm sorry, it starts December 4th and ends on, I guess, the 7th or whatever. I will be watching that. I'm going to take a look because I just want to see what the course looks like compared to what we saw on the screen.
What made you guys choose that course?
I don't know.
It was the first one that popped up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, it was the first one that popped up because it was a Albany or whatever. But then when he said, hey, this is the site of Tiger's next tournament, I was like, cool, let's
I had initially said I wanted to do a link style course.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he started putting up some link ones and stuff. And then we got back and forth. And then it was like, yeah, we'll just take that one. It's easier.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And it ends. And now that we've sort of, quote unquote, seen it, you know, we'll be able to see it on TV. So it's just, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
It looks very nice. Apparently, it's a very exclusive resort. Now I want to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Next year's,
Next 2020
golf trip.
Okay. I'm down with it.
Okay. All right. Just tell me.
I'll put it together. Would that be 2021?
No, it'll be 2020.
We might need 2021 for this one. This one. Huh. This was legit.
Well, which golf? So would you cancel Orlando?
No, Orlando's in March.
He means in the fall.
Oh, you mean 2020?
Yeah, you know, LB goes every quarter. Right. Every quarter for LB.
Yeah, exactly. There's a fall and there's a spring golf trip. So that would be the next year. Could be the fall golf trip. Could be to that one.
Okay. So generally, so moving on from City Swing, but staying with the whole indoor thing. So Montgomery County Golf has these indoor facilities. At Needwood. I haven't been there, but I'm going to check it out. And I may try to check it out this week in the morning at some point. Mm-hmm. And they've got these indoor leagues now, 9-hole simulator round, 2-person team, you know, best ball. You can sign up individually or as a team. The question is, so would you guys do that kind of a winter league with a simulator where you play? Like, does that sound like something that's fun? Because I've never... I mean, I've played in the simulator before because Golf Galaxy has those. And they've got a weird thing, but I'll talk about it in a second. But like an actual round, I've never
played.
Yeah, I did that once. We talked about Disney on the Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. They had a simulator in one of the rooms.
Okay.
And I played and signed myself up, but then also Manny and Sierra. We played Bethpage Black. And so we finished two holes in like an hour.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, you got to hit every shot. So anyway.
Yeah.
That was not smart.
Yeah, so D asked us about that last night, if we had played in any leagues or anything like that.
Right.
And, of course, the answer was no. I don't know about leagues.
I would do it if it was convenient. If it was really convenient for me, where I was like, hey, LP has one and I could just go in there for an hour once a week or whatever, sure. Mm-hmm. But if I have to like drive and go out of my way or whatever, probably.
Yeah. My schedule my evenings are too
packed.
Not packed, but you know, to fluctuate too much.
Right.
You know what I mean? To say every Tuesday at 7, I'm going to be here.
Right.
Kind of thing. Right. I'm not doing that.
Okay. Yeah. But do you guys see the simulators as a viable option to
stay up in the winter?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
If you can't get to the range, well, like I said, I try and go to only when this time of year when the heat is working.
They've got
when the heaters are working.
Have heaters, not all the heaters work.
And some heaters work better than others. You know what I mean?
Which is weird because it's only. So I would assume that most of them would work.
No, we're not in the hood, but still,
exactly.
they don't all work as well as the others. You know, some work better than the others. So, but even Saturday when it was 45 degrees, and sunny with very little wind,
no wind,
I could have played
some layers. Oh, okay,
I could have played outside.
There were people out on Lake Press today when I came home.
Mm-hmm. It's the wind that does it.
Yeah.
If it's windy, we talked about this with Aaron. Like, I mean, if it's 50 to 55 and it's sunny and there's no wind.
Yeah, 45.
You can play in it. So you play 45 as long as there's no wind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. If there's no wind and it's sunny, I'm out there. I can do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'm with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I can dig it. Mm-hmm. GolfDMV, GolfDMVpodcast.com. That's the website. So here's the thing about the Golf Galaxy. So I realized, last year there was maybe 2 or 3 times where I went to Golf Galaxy, literally paid, I think it was $25 or something like that for 30 minutes in the simulator.
Okay.
And if nobody's there, they'll let you stay a little bit longer. Hey man, just go ahead and, you know, hit some more balls.
You can hit
for another 15 minutes. It's all good. Nobody's here.
All right.
Which was fine. But, there was a time where I was kind of in a rush, didn't have a lot of time. And so I was like, you know, I only got 30 minutes, but it was in the spring. And I said, hey, can I, you know, run out the simulator for 30 minutes, you know, or maybe I even had Manny with me. I was going to let him burn some energy off. But I didn't have a lot of time. I had to go to a golf course to play or whatever.
Right.
And they were like, we don't rent it out in the spring or the summer. I'm like, wait, what?
Right.
only for lessons. And I'm like, but if it's
sitting right here doing nothing.
It's sitting right here. Nobody's in it.
Could be earning you money.
As a matter of fact, I think it was raining outside. I think that's what it was. I said, and it's raining.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could literally make money on this and you're not going to do it.
Right.
Like, well,
they're turning down money.
We only do it in the winter.
Okay. Huh. That's stupid.
We don't want all these people in the store buying stuff.
Right. Huh. Why in the world do we want all these people in here? They might buy something.
It goes against our principles.
Second swing, say, hey, come on in. Hit till your heart's content.
Exactly.
Just stay in here. Just they'll just start bringing you clubs randomly.
Hey, take a hit with this one. Hey, try this one. Hey, exactly. Try this one. No, they do. They do.
They're going to get you eventually. That's We've odd. That is weird.
Over at City Swing? Second Swing. And City Swing.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
And
I just noticed that.
So we're in our Silver Spring studios. And here's what's interesting. And so earlier in the week, my wife looks over and says, I think I want to start decorating for Christmas, which is odd because she's not a Christmas person.
Right.
Okay. Or at least hasn't been. I mean, she doesn't hate the holidays. It's just that she doesn't really get up for it. Yeah, holiday. I mean, okay. She enjoys it and goes through the stuff. But recently, as of the last 4, maybe 5 years, she's starting to become like a Christmas person.
Oh, this is the joke now.
Yeah, it's crazy now. Okay. And so it's not even Thanksgiving yet. I mean, you know, we're still, what, a week and a half out of Thanksgiving or something like that? Yeah. As much as I love the holiday, I normally wait until the day after Thanksgiving to put anything up. You know what I mean? Holidays to, you know, be the holidays.
I
like the breed.
Get one, I get the other.
You know what I mean?
But when I'm stepping on each other's toes.
No, you got to enjoy it all. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I do the Halloween stuff. And this was a great year. So this is the first year we were in our new house for Halloween, and it was live here. I mean, we took Manny and my nephew and niece trick-or-treating, like, maybe right as the sun was going down.
Right.
And then we got back home, and the doorbell didn't stop ringing, man.
Wow.
Okay. All the way up to about 9 o'clock. It was crazy. Okay. Yeah, you got a couple teenagers who weren't dressed up. They wouldn't even say trick-or-treat. They just put a bag out.
Right.
Yeah, get out, you know.
Put a resume in there.
Exactly.
Job application. Buy your own candy.
And then so you do that, and then Thanksgiving coming up, you know, so you do the Thanksgiving thing, and then when Christmas you do it. But for whatever reason, she was like, I thought she's hyped up. Yeah, okay. You know.
Merry Christmas.
Come on, I care. You know, whatever. If I want to do it, then let's do it. You know what I mean? I'm all about it. So that's what we did there. Anything else? I think we're all wrapped up here. I don't think there's anything else we need to cover, right?
Yeah, that's about it. The women, Suzuki won the, I forgot the name of it now. 2 weeks ago. It's 2 weeks ago now, but LPGA.
LPGA
tournament. She won her first tournament. I saw that last week, but we didn't get the chance to talk about it. But I forget now what tournament it was, but she actually did win.
Super.
So that was, hey, you know, it is what it was. I pay attention to the ladies.
There you go.
I believe it.
No doubt. Don't get it, right? It's Golf DMV, Golf DMV Podcast. That's the website, golfdmvpodcast.com. We'll catch up with you guys next week.
Bye, Bree.